Today, we are going to be in John 14. And if anyone needs a Bible, raise your hand and we'll put one in your hands because you'll want to follow along. You can open to chapter 14, which is what I'm going to do. And our topic today is getting to know the Holy Spirit. Right? Occurs to me that the Holy Spirit is probably the most misunderstood member of the Trinity. Right? We can all understand what a father is like. We all have fathers, some good, some not so good. But we all can visualize in our mind what a father looks like. Right? We understand a son. Right? We can picture Jesus in that, in our minds. We have a concept of what Jesus is like. The Holy Spirit is a little different, though. Some of us think of the Holy Spirit as a dove, right? We think of that because the dove landing on Jesus at the time that he's baptized by John the Baptist. Or we may think of the Holy Spirit as fire because of the passage in the day of Pentecost when fire came down on the people as they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Or we may think of wind, right? The Hebrew Bible calls the Holy Spirit Ruach HaKodesh, and which basically translates to wind, right? But none of those things, they're things. They don't give us a personality, right? So let's today get rid of some of the false notions that we have about the Holy Spirit. So where would we go if we want to really know about the Holy Spirit? Well, let's ask the one who really knows, Jesus. Turn with me. Well, we'll get there in half a second. I'm going to share something that I believe here, right? And that it's, I acknowledge, I'm probably more of a teacher than a motivational speaker, okay? But head knowledge, if it's just head knowledge, is basically useless. And it might help you in a conversation, you know, when you're making small talk with your friends at work, and that it makes a difference if you apply what you learned. And so what my heart is that we would take knowledge today and apply it to our lives, change the way we live each and every day. Okay, let's turn to John 14. And we're going to begin in verse 15. We're going to begin in verse 15. I love the sound of pages moving in Bibles. And I keep waiting for them to have an app that does that on our Bible apps as well. Okay. John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Now, anytime we study Scripture, it's wise to, Anytime we study Scripture, it's good to know the context that it's in. Right? So let's take a look at its context, right? Jesus tells that this is a message that Jesus is talking to his disciples, right? It's at the end of the Last Supper and before he goes to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? It's one of the last things that Jesus tells his disciples before the crucifixion. Now, I know that if I'm facing my death, right, and I'm talking to my children, I'm talking to my friends, I don't trade baseball scores or trivialities. I talk about the things that are important, right? So I think it's safe to say that Jesus thought this was an important message for the disciples to get. And if it was an important message for the disciples, it's an important message for us. Now, what is he trying to do with this passage? Right, well, he's trying to prepare them for a future when he's not there with them physically any longer. He's trying to, for the last 3 years, they've walked with him. They ate with him. They sat around the fire with him. He's preparing them for a time when he will not be there physically with him. All right? But he wants them to know that that relationship doesn't end. Right? Look at verse 18. We're going to start in the middle, and then we're going to go back to the beginning. Right? And that, I will not leave you as orphans. All right? I think it's funny that the Lord gives me this topic and this passage for Father's Day. All right? We're supposed to celebrate our fathers today, and that I think, in a way, he's helping us to celebrate our Father in heaven. Right? But now think about, right now, Jesus is talking to the disciples. Right? He says, I'm not going to leave you guys as orphans. Right? Well, what would the disciples think that meant, being left as orphans? Right? Well, if you were an orphan in biblical times, you were in hot water. Right? You didn't have anybody to look for you, look over you. You didn't have anybody to provide for you. Right? You didn't have anybody to teach you, in that you were on your own. There wasn't any Department of Children's Services like we have today. It's hard enough for orphans today, but can you imagine what it must have been like? Jesus wanted to put in their mind, right? I am going to physically be gone, but you are not going to be orphans. Right, now let's go back to our main text, right? We'll start at the beginning. Verse 14 and 15. He starts by saying, if you love me, keep my commands. Seems like kind of a strange way to start, right? And yet, when you think about it, our relationship with Jesus quite often is about love and keeping his commands, right? When they asked Jesus, what were the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. It's about love, right? But Jesus, I don't think he wants us to be obedient just to be obedient. It's not that he needs us to be obedient. He wants us to be obedient because when we sin, we're hurting ourselves and we're hurting the people around us. Jesus wants us to follow his commandments, and that so we don't hurt the children that he loves so much. All right? Now, how can I keep his commands? Well, we'll get to that a little bit later, but that means depending on the Holy Spirit. I thought this quote was interesting. This was by Oswald Chambers. When it is a question of God's mighty Spirit, never say, I can't. Go back to our text. Right? Jesus says, I'm going to leave you another advocate. All right? Now, the word in the Greek for another means another similar to me. In other words, Jesus is saying, I have been your advocate. I'm going to leave you another advocate that's similar to me. And that, right? You're not going to be orphans. Right? Well, what does the word advocate mean? Now, advocate gets, depending on your translation, some will have it as advocate, some will have it as comforter.
Counselor.
And that. Well, the Greek word is parakletos, right? And here's what it means, someone who intercedes, right? Think about it. When you intercede for somebody, right, we have intercessory prayer where we intercede for somebody. Lord, take care of this person. Help this person. I'm interceding for that person when I do that, right? Consoler, someone who consoles. Well, you console somebody who's grieving, right? Somebody who's emotionally down and needs help, right? An advocate, right? Somebody who advocates for you, right? Who comes and says, no, I'll take your side. I'll speak for you. And that, a comforter, right? We all need comfort, right? But notice that all of these meanings of this word, right, Each one's purpose is to help or benefit me. Right? That's the job of the Holy Spirit. Back to the text. Jesus says, right, another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That is a powerful phrase. Right? I'm going to start by saying, you know, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. All right. Now, if you accept Jesus, you are Spirit-filled. Okay. I know there's some that say that there's a separate baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that. Right? It says that you are born again, born of the Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit resides within you if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that you don't need to speak in tongues to prove that you are Spirit-filled. However, if you do, that's fine, and that you're groaning in words that your body, your physical self, can't share. All right? But notice what it says, right? The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. That means that the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He will be with you forever. He doesn't come and go. He is with you forever. If you know the Lord Jesus, he's with you right now. He's going to be with you when you go to Cracker Barrel to celebrate Father's Day, right? He's going to be with you tomorrow at work or at play. He's going to be with you forever, right? But it also means that you can't leave him behind. As adults, we all know that there's times that we don't want to take our children with us. Right? Something is not appropriate for a child. I think sometimes as believers, we want to leave the Holy Spirit behind, not take him with us. All right. Well, if he's with me forever, that's not possible. So how do I apply that knowledge? All right. Well, we should live like we're filled with the Holy Spirit at all times. Then Jesus goes on, right? He calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. An interesting phrase, right? Because the world today, right, we argue over what is truth. Right? I remember, when was it, about 25 years ago that we started hearing about, well, there is no absolute truth. You have your truth, I have my truth, right? And they can be different, right? Well, frankly, I think that's a crock. And I won't tell you a crock of what, I'll let you fill in the blank. What does Scripture say, right? Well, earlier in the same chapter, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? Jesus is truth, right? We don't get to choose our own truth, right? I can believe whatever I want about myself, right? I can believe that I can identify myself as a 30-year-old bodybuilder and that, but you know what? It ain't the truth. I can believe it, but it ain't the truth. It's just that simple, right? Right? Scripture goes on, right? Jesus says a lot about truth, right? In chapter 16, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Listen to what that says, right? If you want to know what the truth is, go to the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into truth, not falsehood. He will guide you into truth, right? He will glorify me, right? The Holy Spirit comes to glorify the Lord. That's what he will do. Jesus talks about it in chapter 15 as well, right? He says that the Holy Spirit will testify about me, right? And you must also testify. Mm-hmm. We need to hear from the Holy Spirit the truth and use that truth to testify about Jesus. Let's go back to our main text. He goes on to say, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. You know him? Right? Well, how do I know him? Right? I'm glad you asked that question. We know him first because Jesus tells us that we know him. Right? And I can stand up here confidently tell you that Jesus never lies and never misleads you. Right? But we know it in other ways as well. Right? We have that we call it a still small voice, maybe a conscience, and that is what we call it. And that, but that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. Right? We know him because we listen for him. Right? We spend time in Scripture and in prayer. Oh, I should explain the little character on the bottom right. That's a man with his hair on fire. It's a reminder to me, right? Like I say, I don't show my emotions a lot. I'm not going to get up here and dance for you. Yeah, sorry, just... I know. It's disappointing, Daryl, but you just have to live with it. And I suppose a guy with his hair on fire is a bad example for a guy who's going bald. And that, but the idea is... Hey, careful.
That was rough.
Wow, cut me off at the knees. Yeah, I know. It takes one to know one. I get it, Daryl. The point is that it's important for us to know that we know the Holy Spirit. Right? This is a reminder to me, right? This is something that I want you to take home, that you know the Holy Spirit. Henry Blackaby, right, and we all know Henry Blackaby because of the Experiencing God course, right, and we probably are going to offer that maybe this fall, I think, Lord willing. And anyway, here's what Henry Blackaby said. God speaks through a variety of means. In the present, God primarily speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. Pastor Darren. And our hearts. Pastor Darren always adds to this quote. And the application, right, is I beg you to listen for the Holy Spirit. When I think back before, you know, hearing aids were miniaturized and everything, right? You know, you'd see older people, they put their hand to their ear, right, you know, to listen better, right? And nobody remembers that. I'm the only one old enough to remember that. Oh, God, that's sad. Okay. The point being was that when a person did that, you knew they were trying to hear from you. Okay? And I urge you to listen for the Holy Spirit. Right? Tune to that station, if you will, and that, you know, be alert to hearing from the Holy Spirit. In that. And when you hear from him, listen to what he says. When the Holy Spirit talks to you, there's a reason. He's not talking about the weather or making chit-chat. The Holy Spirit has a reason when he talks to you. Okay, let's go back. Right. Jesus said he lives with you. Right? Well, one thing that I've learned as a pastor is that people often come when they have problems and they feel like they're alone. Okay. But yet Jesus says, you will have the Holy Spirit with you. Okay. So whatever your problem is, you are not alone. You're facing it with the Holy Spirit with you. Remember the Parakletos, right? The Comforter, right? The Advocate. The Consoler, right, your guide, the Holy Spirit is with you when you face whatever the problems are. And the desire to make you feel like it's alone, right, that's a lie of the devil. If you're saved, he can't take you to hell with him, but he will try to separate you from the Lord and keep you from living the life that the Lord has for you on this earth. Back to our main text again. All right. He lives with you and will be in you. Whoa, that's a really strange thing to say, right? The Holy Spirit is going to live within me, right? Different translations take it differently. Some, the NIV has it lives with, the King James has dwelleth, which is the same word that we use for dwelling, a dwelling place, a place to live. Right now, I know for a fact that when you live with someone, you get to know them real well, right? You ever move into an apartment building with somebody that you thought you knew well, and you know, the first weekend it's like, boy, I didn't know that about this person, or even stranger still, you got married, right, and moved in, and it's like, oh my, Mary Kay's smiling over here. This is terrible. You get to know somebody when you live with them, right? And that means we have an opportunity to get to know the Holy Spirit, but it means that the Holy Spirit knows us. All right, now I think I'm reminded of a book that I read when I was a baby believer. I think it's probably about 35 years ago now. Right, and if I remember right, it was called My Heart, Christ's Home. All right, maybe some of you have heard of it. And the theory in the book was this new believer invited Christ to live in his heart, right, which is true, right? But there was a part of it where there were some areas, some rooms that he didn't want Jesus to go into. See, these were the closets with the dirty laundry, the places that he didn't want the Lord to go into. And it's a great illustration, right? Because we all have those closets in our life, no matter how long you've been working with the Lord, in that there's still some place in your heart that's not perfect. God's not through with you yet. You're still here on earth. The book is interesting, but I don't think it's completely accurate, because if the Holy Spirit is living within me, he goes with me wherever I go. He is with me when I put the dirt in the closet. He's with me when I go to clean that laundry, wash that laundry. He's with me all of the time, right? You know, as I said before, you can't leave the Holy Spirit behind, right? Now, you're going to take the Holy Spirit with you when you go to work tomorrow or wherever, right? And if you serve someone, right, you do the will of the Holy Spirit, right? You do something, minister, he's going to be there for you. He's going to be there for you, with you at that time. But if you go and spend your day gossiping, he's with you then, too. You're not going to leave him behind. I want to share this. Recently, I know the Holy Spirit is living within me 24/7. But I'm not always aware of the Holy Spirit living within me. Right. And so I asked the Lord, help me to have an awareness of your Spirit within me. And he gave me a vision, right, of a dove landing on my shoulder. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not confusing myself with Jesus here. But I think the Lord did that because he knew it was an easy reminder for a simple-minded man to understand and remind me that the Holy Spirit is living within me and I need to be listening to him wherever I am and whatever I'm doing. But the question, again, this is a hair on fire point, right? We need to take home with us the fact that the Holy Spirit lives within us and is with us 24/7. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, he's with us. The question that I have to ask myself, and probably you should too, is how comfortable is the Holy Spirit living within me? Am I making him uncomfortable by the places that I go, the people I see, the games that I play, the things? Just saying. Ask yourself that question and maybe listen to the Holy Spirit to tell you how comfortable he is living within you. Okay, back to our text. All right. Look at verse 17. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Now, five times in two sentences, Jesus used the words he and him. I have to figure that that's not by accident, that there's a point that he wants us to get. And what is that point? That point is that the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. Now think about it, right? The Holy Spirit has feelings, just like you and I do, right? We're told in 1 Thessalonians not to quench the Holy Spirit, right? Right? The Holy Spirit has emotions like you and I do, right? In Romans 8, it tells us that he intercedes with wordless groans. Well, you don't groan if you don't have emotions. Right? The Holy Spirit has a will, just like you and I do. Right? The same verse in Romans 8 tells us he intercedes with the will of God. Right? The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not a thing. He is not an it. And maybe that's why the things like fire and wind and doves make it so hard for us to understand the Holy Spirit. It keeps us from picturing him as a person. He is a real person. He doesn't have a physical body like you and I. He's a spiritual person in that. But he has the same characteristics in many ways as you and I. Back to our main text. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live. Again, we talk about orphans, right? What it means to be an orphan. Right? Picture yourself as an orphan, a child without parents, without someone to care for you, right? Without somebody to look after you, without someone to teach you, to protect you. Right? Now, I hate to say it, it's bad news, but if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're an orphan. You have no one to protect you, to guide you, to teach you, to advocate for you, to console you, to comfort you, to advocate for you. You don't have anyone. You are an orphan. Now, I've got good news. If that's you, come see Pastor Darren or myself afterwards, and we can tell you how to get adopted this day. You don't have to leave this building as an orphan. All right. But it's also important for those of us who do know Jesus to remember that we are not orphans. One thing, and I don't know, maybe it's just me, and that one thing I hate to see, I'm convinced that so often we don't receive everything that the Lord has for us. Right? Jesus, how often does he say the kingdom of God is at hand? At hand, that means I can reach out and put my hands on it. I see myself. Not living all that he has for me. Now, that can be for a variety of reasons. It can be because of unconfessed sin in my life. But one way that it can be is if I deny the Holy Spirit. And I understand, you know, there's some churches that are, I hate to use this phrase, but more spirit-filled, and that where the services get kind of crazy. And there's people that say, I don't want anything to do with that. And I want to know what's going on at all times. You know, that's just not acceptable. But really, do you want to say that I'm going to ignore one-third of the Trinity? Right? Do I want to say that I want to be an orphan? Is that smart? I admit, sometimes the Holy Spirit does things that are a little bit unusual. The Holy Spirit will do miracles and things that we don't always understand. And we can't always control. And that, but the Holy Spirit is not crazy either, right? The Holy Spirit is orderly. God is an orderly God. He created an orderly universe. Right? Just the way our bodies work is orderly. Gravity is orderly. And that there's no reason to believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't believe in order too. Right? So I think that we are wise if we recognize that we are not an orphan. Here's a quote from A.W. Tozer, another Bible scholar. All right, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. All right, think about that. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. The application, whatever you face in life, remember who lives within you. You don't face it alone. You're not an orphan. Verse 18. Right? Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. Right? That's a promise of eternal life. That's a promise of eternal life in, what, 2, 4, 6, 7 words. 7 words in that promise of eternal life. In verse 20, right, Jesus says, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And my response is, huh? Right? You ever get to one of those verses where you look and you go, boy, this one is kind of confusing. Right? I'm getting some head shakes. Yeah. Okay, well, let's look at it. Right? I think Jesus is prophesying. Right? And then think about the day of Pentecost and the day of judgment. Right? When we are going to be judged by the Lord, Jesus stands before the Lord and said, no, he is in me. I'm his advocate. Gary is in me. Stephen is in me. Right? Jason is in me. Right? Right? And he's also saying that he is in us. Right? We see that at the day of Pentecost. I think what Jesus is saying here, though, right, is that, well, he's saying it quite clearly, that he is in the Father, right? He only does and says what the Father says, right? He lives within us in the Holy Spirit, and that at the day of judgment, we are in him. Right? I get a kick out of the world, right? One thing that the world, so often, they want to attain godhood. Right? Whether it be, you know, well, reincarnation. Every time you come back, you're a little closer to God, you know, or you know, you pray to abandon yourself and to be more and more like God. And that the truth is that as a believer, the Lord comes to live with inside of you. That's as close as you need to ever be to being like God, is to have the Holy Spirit live within you. Verse 21, Jesus goes back to what he said in the beginning. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Right. On Father's Day, you know, we're reminded that there is a special love between a father and a child, right? I think you can ask any reasonable father. I'm sure there are exceptions, but fathers have a special bond with their children. Right? And when we're obedient as children, we have a special bond with our God, with God our Father, and that. And the more we obey, the more we experience Jesus in our life. Right? The more obedient I am, the more I hear from the Holy Spirit, the more of him I have. Right? But, you know, it's hard keeping the commandments, right? It's hard. Right? Well, how do we keep his commands? Right? Well, here's what Charles Spurgeon said. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. We are useless. Right now, I like to think of myself as a can-do kind of guy. Mary Kate will tell you that I can be stubborn and willful. It's true. And I can set my mind to be obedient and to flee temptation. And I can do it for a while, but sooner or later I will crumble if I try to do it under my own. When I face situations, I ask the Holy Spirit to take the temptation away from me. Bring me in a place that's safe, where I don't have to overcome it in my own, where I can count on the Holy Spirit. Most of the time that works. If it doesn't, my next prayer is, Lord, tell me what it is in me that's allowing this temptation to reside, allowing the enemy to bring this to me and tempt me with it. And typically in those cases, the Lord will either bring an event in my life that was hard or some unconfessed sin in my life that I need to deal with. And then it's up to me whether I want to deal with it or whether I want to succumb to the sin. And that's true for all of us. Where is the portable microphone? And give it to Mark.
I have a question. Do I have to wait till I die to experience the eternal life that you're talking about?
No. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here for us today. And again, I get frustrated when we live as if we are not, as if the Lord is not victorious, and that we don't live like the Holy Spirit is living within us. And I think that's a shame. I mean, that's like a carpenter who's trying to build a house, but he won't use the hammer that he's got in his tool belt, you know, or the chef in the kitchen that, you know, won't use the oven. It's like, you know, it's there. Why don't you use it? And that, so no, we don't have to wait. Right. It's an interesting passage, not in our main passage today, but in John 16:7 that I wanted to include, right? This is, again, Jesus talking to the disciples. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Well, that seems like kind of a strange passage. Why is it good that Jesus goes away? Well, think about it, right? If Jesus was here physically, frankly, I want to take him home with me. You guys are on your own. I want him home with me, right? And you know, you think about the disciples, right? Peter and John, you know, who's on first? Who's the most important of the disciples, right? And it, but the Holy Spirit is within each and every one of us. Every one of us that knows Jesus as Lord has the Holy Spirit within us. So I can take the Holy Spirit home with me. You're going to take the Holy Spirit home with you, right? Everyone who knows the Lord is going to take the Holy Spirit home with him. And I think that's why it is good that Jesus went away. I'll get to the right slide yet. Okay. We're nearing the end. Why was it so important for Jesus to have the disciples know that they weren't being left as orphans? You think about it, right? They were with him for 3 years, right? Pretty much every minute of the day, you know, except when he sent them on missionary trips. And they would learn to rely on him. Right, you know, you think about the passage where Jesus is preaching, right, and the message gets kind of hard, and so a lot of the people who were listening to the message, they disappeared, right? And Jesus asked the disciples, "Are you guys going to go too?" And what was Peter's answer? Well, Lord, you know, you are the one, you are the Messiah. Where else could we go? Right? Jesus knows that it's going to be hard on the disciples. You know, think about what happens after the crucifixion, right? You know, only, as far as we can tell from Scripture, only one attended the crucifixion, and that was John, right? The rest of them disappeared. They didn't want to be on site for fear of being the next person up on a cross, right? You know, we next see them, right, hidden in an upper room, hiding with the doors locked, right, because they were worried that the Romans or the Jews would come for them next. Right? Jesus knew that it was going to be hard for them when he ascended into heaven. He wanted them to know, though, that he was still with them. Right? Just as it's important for us today, right, to know that he is still with us. Right? Okay, no, I'm not supposed to say that. Okay. This is a quote from Warren Wiersbe. Right? He's a noted Bible teacher, scholar. Right? Says, one of the best ways to ease a troubled heart is to bathe it in the love of God. When you feel like an orphan, let the Spirit of God reveal God's love to you in a deeper way. Charles Spurgeon said, little faith will take your soul to heaven, but great faith will bring heaven to your soul. Your heart can become a heaven on earth as you commune with the Lord and worship him. Think about that. It's not scripture, but boy, it is. Seems like it's inspired, right? And it, you know, our hearts are troubled, right? This is a tough world we live in, right? You know, you read the news, watch the news, and it, you can't help but get agitated, right? And it, the Lord has not left us as orphans. We do not face these things by ourselves. And it's absolutely true. Little faith, Lord, I need you as Savior, will take me to heaven, right? And but a greater faith will allow me to recognize the Holy Spirit living within me, allow me to bring heaven at hand, to bring some heaven to earth, right? And wasn't that the Lord, what we call the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? And that our heart can become a heaven on earth. We don't have to live in this earth the way non-believers do. Right? But we need to commune with the Lord and worship him. Well, when we commune with the Lord, that's a recognition that the Holy Spirit is living within us. So my hope this morning, right, that when you leave, oh, that you've learned something that maybe you didn't know before. But what's more important, that you take some stuff home with you and apply it to your life, right? That Jesus didn't leave us as orphans, right? Right, that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that person lives within us. He is with us wherever we go, good, bad, or indifferent. Right. That the Holy Spirit is truth. The world doesn't know truth. Doesn't know Jesus. It doesn't know truth. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, is truth. Right. And the Holy Spirit is of God, the creator of millions of stars, right? How powerful is that? That's what I hope and pray that you take home with you today. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, the word that you bring to my mind is embrace, that we would embrace the Holy Spirit, Lord, that we would be aware of the Holy Spirit living within us, Lord, that we would listen to the Holy Spirit, that we would be obedient to what he tells us, Lord, that we would be guided by the Holy Spirit, Lord. Father, help us not to live as orphans. Help us to live as your children, children that need an advocate, need a comforter, need a consoler. We need you, Lord. Help us to recognize that and to lean on you as we walk through life. And Lord, as your word says, the Spirit will lead us in truth, but the Spirit will testify to you, Lord. Help us to testify to you. And we thank you. We thank you in the name of our blessed Savior Jesus. All God's children said,
Amen.
Have a blessed Father's Day.